Tonight, we're going to speak about this. We all know what this is. That's the Bible. This is the authorized version of the Bible. We have it from 1611. It was lost a long while ago. I'm sure nobody here remembers that. But it's so precious to us. God's Word is so precious. And for God's people, we can say it's so wonderful. Because we hear the Word of God. We were convicted of our sin. We were brought to Christ. And how wonderful that is. And now we're saved and born again of God's Spirit. We're on that narrow way that leads to heaven and to home. One day, we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Hallelujah. What a day that will be. The Word of God is likened unto many things in the Scripture. Do you ever think of that? It is likened, for example, in Jeremiah 23 and verse 29. It is like a fire. And so it is. It can come and it'll consume. God's Word, it can move in the hearts of men and women, born within them. We think of it like a hammer. A hammer, everybody knows about a hammer. And what do you do with a hammer? Well, in the olden days, they had all sorts of hammers, maybe big ones and wee ones, but now they have machinery hammers. And they don't go long of breaking up stones. You see them in quarries in different places. And it breaks the rock in pieces. And it's the same for the Word of God. It breaks the rock in pieces. It breaks the heart in pieces. The Word of God goes straight. And the Holy Ghost takes it into the heart. Oh, how tremendous that is. And then we also see it is a sword. It is a sword. And Hebrews tells us for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the heart. And that's what it does. The Word of God, it pierces into the heart. The sword is a wonderful weapon. What he uses sword for, people don't use swords now. But in olden times, that's the weapons that they would have used. And it would have been familiar to those people. And you see, a sword is used for defense. For defending yourself. When people would attack you, you would defend yourself with the sword. And the Word of God is likened unto a sword. And when Satan comes and tries to attack God's people, we can defend ourselves with the Word of God, the sword. And there's many verses in the Scripture. When it comes, we can explain God's wonderful plan of salvation. We can speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful that is. But it's also used for attack. And it's just like whenever you would maybe go out here into the streets, into the people's houses. You're attacking. You're going to places where Satan doesn't want you to go to. And you come up with many difficulties. And you're bringing the Word of God and you're giving it into the people's homes. Or even your family. And you come and you give it lovingly to the people. So that as they read it, it can pierce their hearts. That's what it's likened unto. And then it's also likened unto seed. We have the parable of the sower. What does it say? The seed is the Word of God. That was the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The man with the seed, some fell by the wayside. The birds came and gathered them up. And some on stony ground. And then there were some with their briars and the thistles and all these things that got to grow wild. And then they were all scorched.
the devil got in. And then some fell on good ground. On the good ground, and how the word of God got into the good ground in people's hearts. It got into the old Christian tonight. It got into our hearts. And the seed grew. And we're saved. Not a wonderful thing. Oh yes, the word of God is likened unto many everyday things. A lamp. And a light. You know, it's a light that shows us the way of salvation. We need that light. We need that lamp. And I know, well, maybe when I was born, and that was in the 40s. And you know, it just wasn't like what it is today. You come in and put a wee switch on. You would know, and even in the 40s, I had telly lamps. You had candles. You may think it's very nice and romantic having candles about. But candles were used to give light. And how we have the light of the gospel. It goes forth around the world. Even in this God's day, the word of God is going forth here, there, and yonder. In China. Yes, and India. But they're having it difficult over there. They have to meet in private. They have to have a lookout in case the authorities would come and take them and put them in prison. There's many of God's people in prison today. And we think of the light of the Gospels in Australia and Canada and America and Jamaica and Africa and Spain and Nepal, all over the world. God's light is shining. His word of God, the word of God is preached around the world. And then it's also in Psalm 119 and the 103rd verse, it is honey to my mouth. That is nice, isn't it? I'm sure we all like honey, and how honey is good for you, especially if you have a sore throat, and how it tastes so sweet. And that's what the word of God is to each and every one of his people. It's so sweet. So wonderful. But tonight, as our brother was saying, I'm going to speak about a toolbox. We're going to liken God's word to a toolbox. And I'm going to use John 3 verse 16. I'm sure you're wondering how that verse is likened onto a toolbox. But the Lord brought this wee message to me, and I believe we will see something special. Now, there's some boys and girls. I don't think there's too many boys here. I can't see too many boys. I think I saw one boy. But we all know what a toolbox is like. Whenever you think back, especially the men, think back whenever you're young, and Christmas time would come, one of the most special things of all was a toolbox. I remember we didn't get very much at Christmas. There wasn't the money. It was just after the war. And how we would have got maybe a cowboy suit. Our toolbox was one of the most favourites. And how we would delight in having our toolbox. Mind you, it didn't do me any good. I can hardly hammer a nail in the straight. But my sons can do, have their all, each one of them have their own toolbox even to this day. But it's a very popular thing for boys. And what is a toolbox? Just simply a container. That's what it is, a container. And you know, people take pride in it. And workmen, craftsmen take pride in their toolbox, their container. We think even way back in Scripture, I'm sure, doesn't say it. But I'm sure whenever Noah was building the ark, he had his toolbox. The sons would have their toolbox. And as they built the ark. You know, and even right down, they were probably made with wood. And even many toolboxes today are still made with wood. Some of them are made with different material. How important it is to the craftsman. And then we see the purpose of it. Why do you need a toolbox? Well, I wouldn't need to tell a tradesman why you need a toolbox, because there's so many different tools and they have to carry them about, and it's very handy for them. And what have we on a toolbox? A lock. Well, you may think, well, you could maybe do without a lock. But there again, if I ask a tradesman and says, well, have you got a toolbox without a lock? They would say no. Not that they don't trust the people, but many people do borrow things and tools and they forget to bring them back. Isn't that right? And then there's some people who would take the tools. So it's always important that you have a lock on the toolbox. And then another important thing is a key. But no good that toolbox without the key. And how the lock and the key, they work together. They work together. And of course, a toolbox has an owner. And how they can be very proud of all their tools, and they can keep them clean and keep them safe. But now we're going to look at John 3 and verse 16. And we're going to look at it as God's toolbox. And we're going to take that verse. And our first point tonight is God's toolbox is, what is it? It's the Bible. That's what it is. It is the Bible. This great book. And we are going to look at the first two words of that verse. For God. Simply. For God. This book is all about God. It tells us who He is. It tells us what He has done. And what He will do. God is a Spirit, infinite, eternal and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth. That's what God is. It means, eternal. God is eternal. And whenever you look at the word eternal, I'm not gifted with Hebrew or Greek. I find it difficult to learn English without going into that. But whenever I do come across a word and I want it to be explained, I use the simple old dictionary. I'll look at it and see what it says. And that gives me a kind of direction on it. And what does a dictionary say about eternal? It means indefinite time without beginning or ending. And you see, that's what God is. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. See, they had no beginning. They've always been there. We're everlasting. Just like one of those big hoops you used to have when you were young, and maybe you still have them in school. Hula hoops, I think you call them. And that is just in a circle. No beginning, and no ending. And that's what God is from all eternity. He has always been and always will be. This book, it also tells us about the past. It tells us about the present. And it tells us about the future. It tells us about history. All that's happened in the world. This book tells us. And we start in creation. It tells us about creation. How God created and made all things in 6 days. And how He rested the seventh day. And how God gave a command to the man whom He made on the sixth day. And God said, you can eat of every tree in the garden that He was put into. Except one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the command was, if you eat that, I shall surely die. What a command. You would have thought He would have been happy enough. And how, you remember how we're reading the scriptures, it tells us how He put Adam to sleep, and He took a rib, and He made a woman, a helpmeet for him.
And you would have thought the two of them would have been contented with all those trees, all that fruit to eat. They would have been happy enough. But then we have the fall of man. How this book tells us how we became a sinner. Man took of the forbidden fruit, touched it, and he ate off it. Whenever man ate off it, he became a sinner. You see, whenever they were in the garden before the fall, they were pure, they were sinless. And they were naked, and they could walk about, and they were not ashamed. They weren't ashamed. But you see, whenever the sin, they came, and they sinned against God, what happened? They realized their nakedness. And they were ashamed. They tried to clothe themselves. But they couldn't do it. Then we see how God provided a covering for them. An animal had to be slain so they could have coats of skin. And that how that speaks about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the scriptures, in the Old Testament. And how it tells us about the journey of God's people, Israel, the Jews. It tells us about the law, the commandments that we are to keep, but then man cannot keep the commandments. That's why it was needed to sacrifice for sin. And how it tells us about the priests, they would offer these sacrifices up. It tells us also, it speaks of the prophets and how they prophesied of the coming Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would come into the world. Well, how wonderful that is. You think of Isaiah the prophet and the rest of them and how they explained to the people, it was written down for them, Samus ripped it down, and how they were looking forward to this great Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the fullness of time, God sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And how he came into this world is about the work of the Holy Ghost and how the Holy Ghost works in the hearts of people. And it also is a book of faith. And just like the toolbox, God is the owner of it. The tradesman would be owner of his toolbox. God is the owner of his toolbox, the scriptures. You always must remember that. Then we see, secondly, we see the lock on God's toolbox. What is a lock? God's toolbox is love. So we have the first part for God. Now we're going to look at the second part of this verse. So love the world. And we'll see the Bible is about the love of God. God knew that man was going to sin against him. Even before the foundation of the world. God knew it. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that he was going to have to come to earth and go to the cross in Calvary before the foundation of the world. And why? Because of God's love. God loved the sinner. And he had a plan of salvation. Yes, in the Old Testament time, the people, oh, how they relied on the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice of animals. But now the Lord Jesus Christ has come. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. God does not like sin. But the sinner he loves. God's love is salvation, which means safety. And how there is safety in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his wonderful salvation. We're safe. We're on our way to heaven. And how wonderful that is. And then we also see in the third point, we have the toolbox. We have the lock on the toolbox. But what else do we need?
What is important to it? The key. The key is the toolbox. Is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look at our verse again. For God, and then we see, so loved the world. Now, what does it say? That he gave his only begotten Son. That is the key to God's toolbox. The only Son of God. He was born of a virgin. The seed of a woman. But he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was pure. Untouched by man. We are all the same, no matter who we are, whatever nation. We are all contaminated with sin in our blood. But the Lord Jesus Christ had pure blood. And that's what made him sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And he went about this earth. And the miracles that he done. And the teaching that he taught. People could see that this was a someone special. That truly he was the Son of God. And his sufferings, both spiritual and physical sufferings. On the cross. Remember how the mocked him, they laughed at him, scorned him, and how they nailed him to the tree. The crown of thorns, his beautiful bride, and how they took the cross and put it up into the socket, and the pain of the body as it would hit the socket. How the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us on that cruel cross, and how he died there. Died alone. God the Father turned his back on his only Son in those dark hours on the cross. Satan attacked him with all his power. The Lord Jesus Christ could have come down from that cross, but he didn't. He done it there because of love. That's why he died on the cross. The love of God. And how he was taken down from the cross and buried. The third day he was resurrected again from the dead. And he was seen of his disciples for 40 days. And then all of a sudden, whenever that time was up, he was taken up in a cloud into heaven. And two men were standing beside the disciples and they said, the same Jesus, as you see him go, will come again in like manner. Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And where is he now? Where is the Lord Jesus Christ now? He's in heaven. He's in the Father's right hand. He's a great exalted high priest. He's making intercession for his people. He's willing and able to save precious souls. So I look down. I don't know if there's anyone saved in our meeting tonight. But if there is anyone saved, let me say the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sin. Will you let him in tonight into your heart? Oh, how we see the lack of love and the key, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how they're both dependent on each other. And then quickly, we will move to how do we receive the key. And the way to the key is faith in the finished work of Christ. So there we have, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What's the next line? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And how he died on the cross. And if we want to open that key, that lock of God's love, we must come through the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come to God through Christ in faith, believing in him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how can anyone be saved?
Christian, we know how to be saved. But the sinner, it's important that they know. Believe that you are a sinner is the first step. And this can be very difficult for people. And I know people, and they love the gospel, they know the gospel. But they'll not take that step to say and recognize before God that they're a sinner before Him, before His sight. You know, you can't be saved unless you take that place of a sinner. Then you believe in the once and for all sacrifice of Christ. You believe that Christ went to the cross, that He shed His precious blood on that cruel tree. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We must believe in Him. And by faith, we can see today the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in heaven. But we see Him through the eyes of faith. We believe He's there. Because the Bible tells us so. As we look at the Bible, we read it in faith. And we believe it. And if you're not saved tonight, this Bible tells us you need to be saved. Come with a step of faith. You know, there were many obstacles. Before I was saved, I was used to work in the pubs and clubs and discotheques in the West End of London. New gangsters and all sorts of people. But the Lord, whenever that night that I realized I was a sinner, had a big gamble on, and I happened to have won. But the Lord spoke to me in such a way through His word. I forgot about all my sin, my gambling, and all the other vices that I had. I loved the gambling. But I had the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't want to go to a lost eternity. I didn't want to go to that place where the worm death, not in the fire, is not quenched. I wanted to go to heaven. I wanted to serve the Lord, and He saved me. I smoked 60 cigarettes a day, and I went in to the fire. And I never smoked another one since. I could have maybe been running for Ireland if I hadn't have smoked. It ruined my life. I played rugby, ruined my life. Smoking. But now all this had passed, I had the faith in the Lord in Jesus Christ. And then also we see the blessing of God's salvation. This comes there, this is our final point. We read there again the blessing of God's salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. And then our final part is, but have everlasting life. This is a blessing of God's salvation. And it's wonderful to be on our way to heaven. To be on that narrow way. You know what peace there is. What peace there is in our hearts. To know what one day we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, today many people have different thoughts about heaven. Some of them picture it in so many ways. Some of them, I can't understand how they say it in Scripture. But the one thing I know in heaven that I want to see, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb. The one who saved me. By His grace, the one who died on the cross in Calvary. And if you're not saved tonight, you will not be in heaven. You'll be in a lost eternity forever and ever. What a sad thought that is. And even for God's people to think about that thought. The more we think, the more we have a burden for our loved ones. Well, the more we have a burden for the lost. Yes, God's toolbox is the Bible. And let me say, Christian, do we take God's toolbox with us everywhere we go day by day? Do we use the tools that are in it? The verses of Scripture, the great Bible characters.
but most of all the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we talk about God day by day? Or is that toolbox just sitting in the house and we'll leave it there and we'll forget about it and only bring it out on the Lord's day? Oh, how important we must always have the Bible, always to be ready. It's God's great toolbox. Unsaved, you've heard tonight about God's wonderful salvation. If there's anybody in this meeting, maybe there's somebody backslidden in heart, I do pray that you will open this toolbox, the Bible, that you will find the key to the lock, that you will come in faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he loved you. He died for you. What a great opportunity it is. And I do pray that the Lord would take these words upon every one of our hearts, that he would bless it to us, that the Christian will be strong, and that we'll be faithful workers for the Lord Jesus Christ. For you're and are not saved, I pray that the Holy Ghost will so come and convict you of your sin, bring you to the place of repentance, where you will forsake all and follow Christ. I'm here as God's servant. If I can help, I cannot lead a soul to Christ. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. But I can point. I can always use God's toolbox. Do pray that the Lord would bless his word tonight.